You found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Primetime Action, Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin. Glad you could hang with us tonight. Multiple sports going on and a third solo shot for the Atlanta Braves, this time off the bat of Freddie Freeman. 3-0 Braves. I'm looking at the DraftKings in-game money line right now, and I think they have it reversed. I think they mean to put the Dodgers at plus 195, but I'm seeing the Braves at plus 195. Perhaps that should be...
Bet it!
Perhaps that should change. Yes, they have it wrong right now, but it looks like it would be the Dodgers at plus 195. I think that's what they meant. The Braves at minus 240. But we are in the third inning again, 3-0. And the Astros game completed. Astros take a 3-2 lead in their best of seven American League Championship Series. They defeat the Boston Red Sox 9-2 was the final. 9-1 was the final. Fourth game of the five where the winning team has scored 9 runs or more in that series. So Astros cash as plus 107. I got them at plus 113 today. Pre-flop dogs. Kelly, other updates, sir.
Yeah, it's over in college football. Live numbers, yes. I'm seeing plus 180 at William Hill on the Dodgers. So, yep. Yeah, I'm going to guess it's flip-flop. As far as college football, this is a pretty close game. Coastal Carolina on top of App State, 17-14, 2 minutes remaining in the second quarter. Live numbers currently off the board. Over in the NBA, we've got several games in progress. Some coming down to the end here. The Bulls on top of the Pistons after trailing early. That game is 84-82, 6.5 minutes remaining in the first in the fourth quarter. I'm sorry. The Bulls 3.5 point live favorites. 197.5 is your live total. The Hornets on top of the Pacers, 100-94. 9 minutes remaining in the game there. Hornets 5.5 point favorite. Live 235.5 is your live total. The Wizards all over the Raptors, 63-49. This third quarter just getting started. 9 minutes remaining in the third. Wizards are a 17.5 point live favorite. 198.5 is the live total. Some of these guys came to play like some of these former Lakers too. Bradley Beal's got 13. But then you got some of the newcomers. Spencer Dinwiddie with 13. Kyle Kuzma with 11 points, 8 rebounds. Montrezl Harrell off the bench, 10 points, 7 rebounds. This is a team we talked a little bit before before the season, Gil. How good could the Wizards be? I don't know. It's a good start for them, though. At the half at Madison Square Garden, Celtics with a 4-point lead over the Knicks, 58-54. Celtics 1.5-point live favorite, 224 is your live total on that game. The Timberwolves out to a hot start as well, 56-39 on top of the Rockets, 3 minutes remaining in the second quarter. They're in Minnesota. Live numbers, Timberwolves 15.5-point live favorite, 226.5 is the live total. Sixers with a 1-point lead over the Pelicans, 47-46, 2 minutes remaining in the first half. Sixers 4.5-point live favorite, 215.5 is your live total. The Grizzlies with a 13-point lead over the Cavs, 68-55, 1 minute remaining in the first half. The Grizzlies, a 13.5-point live favorite, 237.5 is your live total. And the Magic on top of the Spurs early, 23-21. The Spurs are still a live betting favorite, 4.5, 219.5 is the live total. And we've got one NHL game going on. Man, there's some scoring. This is a Matt Brown hockey game right here. Flyers 3.
There we go.
Bruins 2.
There
Flyers 3, Bruins 2. 5 minutes remaining in the second period. Flyers minus 220 live. Bruins plus 180. 7.5 live total.
And Kelly, in that Celtics-Knicks game, I mean, we mentioned Jaylen Brown having himself a half. Julius Randle had 22 of his own in the first half for the Knicks. So a 25-point first half for Jaylen Brown, a 22-point first half for Julius Randle in that one. So yeah,
I'm expecting big things out of Jaylen Brown this year, but it's great for Knicks fans out there to see Julius Randle come back in game one and put up 22 in the first half. That's awesome.
Runners at the corners for the Braves, already up 3-0 and 2 down now in the top of third off Julio Urías. I hope pitching him in the eighth inning a couple games ago, game two of this series, was worth it, because right now it's not looking like a great decision. Everything Davey Roberts has done since game five of that Giants series has just been a little off. Mark Borchardt, who is on a numbers game on the radio side with me often, he had the best line, I think, about the way that Davey Roberts has handled this postseason since then, which is, if you're going to be the Tampa Bay Rays, be them all year. Don't show up in the postseason and then manage differently. And right now, Arias looks like he's on fumes. 3-0 Braves. Again, Braves up in the series, 2-1, and threatening to add on.
Minus 225 live for the Braves, plus 175 for the Dodgers live.
Yeah. When appropriately lined, that is what it is. Okay, tomorrow night, football, NFL, Thursday night football. Browns hosting the Broncos. What do you do with a game like this?
I mean, seriously. And here's the hard thing with this, and I'm glad we did half the segment on updates. Because it's like, because we don't know who's playing quarterback for Denver. I mean, like this is one of those things where, you know, you have a guy who's battling multiple injuries, and I know he's listed as questionable, and typically these quarterbacks get ruled out, you know, early on in the week and stuff like that. But, you know, I think that this is probably truly a questionable situation for Teddy Bridgewater. And so dealing with a couple of injuries here, I honestly think he's probably going to get out there and have to try and warm up and see how he feels and whether he's going to be able to go or not. And with that, it makes this like an impossible handicap, right? I mean, it makes it impossible to really look at this game. I mean, we can get it, kind of give you the overall landscape of these two teams. We talked about it earlier. The Browns, who were in all of our power rankings last week and have fallen out of all of our power rankings this week, they're just ravaged by injuries. I mean, it's at every single level, too. We already know Baker Mayfield is out. Both of the starting running backs are out. And when I say both starting running backs, they're 1A and 1B. Like Chubb and Hunt get an equal carries, basically. So, I mean, it's an awesome two-headed monster they have. Both guys are out. Then you look. OBJ is battling a legitimate, grade 3 shoulder strain thing going on. It doesn't look like Jarvis Landry, even though he's eligible to come off of IR, is going to be able to come off of IR. So now you might be down your two starting wide receivers to go along with your two starting running backs to go along with your starting quarterback. Oh, and by the way, they have both of their tackles who might miss this game as well. It's just, it's a horrible, horrible mash unit out there for the Browns, and you're going, well, then doesn't this just obviously lead you to a bet for Denver? Well, Denver's middle linebackers are gone, and with the quarterback situation, you just can't really say, yes, this is a confident bet on the Denver Broncos when it could be Drew Lock out there. And we have seen, I mean, even when he was able to, had to get in the game when Teddy Bridgewater was injured earlier this year, he still looks like the same guy that just doesn't know when to make the throw and where to make the throw and all those things. And so it's just very, very tough for me. Look, we'll be in here. We'll be, maybe there'll be some in-game opportunities we can see right off. Like, oh, okay, this Browns team is bad tonight. Or this Broncos team is not going to get it done with quarterback X, Y, or Z, or whatever it might be. Maybe there's going to be some in-game opportunities for us. But as far as pregame, it looks like I will be staying way, 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 way far away from this one.
Yeah, I think, the injury reports are going to be super important right up to almost game time probably, right? Yeah. I mean, even with all the stuff that's going on with the Browns, I do think if Teddy plays, I'll probably tie the Broncos into a teaser, get that, assuming numbers are around the same. Mm-hmm. You know, if they shift, that might be a moot point. But I think that's what I'm looking at, but I don't think it will be a bet made. It will be a bet made likely while we're on the air tomorrow, right before game time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the props and seeing if there's anything at least here that we might can find. I mean, if you look, D'Ernest Johnson is the guy that is likely to get the bulk of the carries for the Browns. You would assume that the path to victory is probably not dropping Case Keenum back to throw a ton to what may or may not have an offense that may or may not have Odell Beckham out there. It might be all backups on the wide receiver side as well. And so, I mean, his number set at 59.5 and, you know, 60 yards rushing. You're like, D'Ernest Johnson, 60 yards rushing, but it's a run heavy team as it is anyway. It's a run first team. It might be even more run heavy than it was coming into this game, considering Baker Mayfield's not going to be out there. They might be without, you know, some key offensive linemen who would be able to keep him protected anyway, without your wide receivers, maybe even because OBJ might not play. I might be looking at that at least from the D'Ernest Johnson standpoint when it comes to his rushing yards. But again, outside of that, I think it's just in-game plays for me, man.
Case Keenum, in case you were wondering, 2016 with the Rams, threw for over 2,200 yards. The 2017 Vikings, He threw for over 3,500 yards that year, 22 touchdowns, 7 picks, just a glorious year. Remember, he was the man who threw the Minnesota Miracle to Stephon Diggs in the postseason against the Saints. Then he had 1 year with Washington, and, well, they weren't very successful when he was, in terms of wins and losses, when he was quarterback. They were 1-7, or was Washington. But since that 2019 season, Case Keenum has thrown a grand total of 13 passes in the National Football League. So it's Case Keenum tomorrow night for the Cleveland Browns.
And to let you know, this wide receiver situation, and obviously it probably ties into the offensive line situation for the Browns and all that stuff. Like, they don't have a single receiver listed for receiving yards or receptions that is going to wear a Browns uniform as far as player props right now, because so much is determined on who's going to be out there and what may or may not happen on the offensive side of the ball for them. Literally not. You couldn't make a bet on a receiving yards or receptions prop right now if you wanted to. It's all Broncos listed, not a single Brown.
How about the lowest alternate total on the board at DraftKings? 29.5 points, plus 360.
Ooh.
Might hit.
Yeah. Could hit.
Honestly, might
could hit. Could hit.
Because we haven't had the truly ugly Thursday night game yet.
Yeah.
Oh.
And sure, you know those are coming.
This is it.
Feels like this could be it.
Having
said that, there's been a couple spots where we thought we might get a bad Thursday night game, but they ended up being great.
Yeah.
If this is the Case Keenum 365-yard passing game to Donovan Peoples-Jones, then, like, yes, I'm here for it.
Cut to a shot of us tomorrow night. Oh, my goodness. This is amazing.
Yes. Donovan Peoples-Jones has 230 yards receiving.
We'll update all the scores. We'll track all the scores in baseball, college football, by the way. Coastal Carolina up 6 on Appalachian State. We'll look across NBA box scores as well. And a little later, Pete Futak, college football. It's VSiN's primetime action.
You are looking live at primetime action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all the action. Visit VSiN.com/SBNC for more information and learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash, including the $1 million top prize. That's VSiN.com/SBNC. Look at that. $2 million guaranteed, $1 million top prize. Makes you want to go back and do it, doesn't it?
No. We're not allowed.
Apparently. We're not allowed.
Yeah. They kicked us out because we're too good.
That's what it was.
That's the story.
Honestly, though, to be honest with you, so it started back in the day. It was on a Friday night where it started. It was Friday through Sunday on a football and NFL playoff weekend. And Matt and I had a hockey parlay Friday night. That Andy McNeil was the guy behind it, by the way, for us. It was like a 4 or 5 teamer. And if we had hit it, we would have really been viable on Saturday. We hit 4 of the 5 legs, and the 5th game, we were up 3 goals, and we lost.
Oh, man, that's brutal. That is brutal. Yeah, I remember we were talking about, because, Matt, we were doing the green zone back then, right? That was the first year of the green zone, or was it the year before that?
I think it was the year before I got going on that. But, yeah, it was a...
You guys had some quality stories out of that.
It was also freezing.
Yeah, freezing.
It was so cold. Our buddy Jay Rude was with us. Yeah, we had fun. It was fun.
It was fun until it wasn't fun.
Yeah. Yes, I guess that's true.
It was fun until it was
fun.
I remember booking Gil for a guest spot on a show, and he was like, "Yeah, I can do it. I'm just sitting here, not out of this, championship."
Oh yeah, by Sunday we were so it was done.
It was awesome though. I mean, they took an empty warehouse and turned it into a sports book. You know, I mean, like it was awesome. I mean, it was very cool.
Yeah, it was one of those where you're like, "That's where it is." You drove by it. Says, "You guys sure you want to get dropped off here?" Sure, this looks like it. No, it was great. It was awesome. And so now they're doing it. They've decided to do this one different time of year, right? So it'll have different games to bet, different things going on. $2 million total prize, $1 million for the top prize. Anything noteworthy here in the NBA that you've noticed box score-wise? Malcolm Brogdon just hit a big 3 to put the Pacers up in their game. 110-109, 4:25 left in that one. That one in Orlando. Or, pardon me, in Charlotte. Pardon me. Knicks down 5 to the Celtics, 5:23 left in the third quarter. That one nip and tuck. Also, the Bulls and the Pistons sort of nip and tuck. 90-86, 24.4 seconds left. The Bulls on top of the Pistons, late going there.
You're some blowouts against some teams that everybody thought were going to be at the bottom of the NBA. Wizards up 27 on the Raptors at the end, coming near the end of the third quarter there. And then the Timberwolves up 27 on the Rockets at halftime. Timberwolves with 72 first half points.
How about the Raptors have 48 points?
Yeah.
With 2:02 left in the third. My goodness. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's going to be a long season for them in Toronto anyways, but this is where betting NBA, usually I get into the swing a little bit, swinging things a couple weeks into it. And these first couple games can be a little wonky.
Who's making up for the Sixers tied up at 53 apiece, as you just mentioned? Who's making up in the, well, there's not really much to make up in the point column for Ben Simmons, but who has taken over his role in this game?
Let's see. We've got 14 for Embiid. This Tobias Harris, 12.6 rebounds. Let's see. Yang with 8 points. Andre Drummond, 2.7 rebounds. Yeah, it's not one person, really.
Talk about quick reaction after this game. If they win, we don't need Ben Simmons. If they lose, oh, boy.
I'll tell you one thing on the other side of that. If you're the Pelicans, you got to love seeing your backcourt of Alexander Walker and Devontae Graham combining for 24 first-half points. That is really, I mean, there's no Zion there yet. Really hard to judge this team. But the backcourt, to me, I am higher on this Pelicans team this year than seemingly most people. I do think at the end of the year they're going to be pretty good. I love the down-low combination of Valanciunas and Zion and how they're going to be able to play off of each other. And then Brandon Ingram, he's still just a pure scorer that they need. But the backcourt is going to be the question. So I think them getting that kind of production tonight is a very good sign, hopefully, for this team to come with a young backcourt, too.
Matt, let's say it again. I know we talked about this last night or the night before. When do you typically start betting NBA?
Probably about 3 or 4 weeks from now. Get a little bit more. And plus, it's like at that point, too, I'm further into NFL to where I have a better grasp on that as well. Mm-hmm. And then so it's a little easier to kind of split the time. One thing, though, Kelly, that is going on right now is just the nightly double-double that is Domantas Sabonis. And, like, we should just keep an eye on that. Like, because there are those props at DraftKings of, you know, will player X, Y, or Z get a record a double double and whatever it might, like, the guy just does it nearly every single night. I mean, like, for real. And he does it under the radar because he's not one of the, you know, fancy stars of the league, but dude just goes out and double doubles like every single night.
Man, that is it. I mean, that's so, he's got 32 and 14. Malcolm Brogdon with 25 points, 11 assists. Chris Duarte, the rookie there, with 27 points, 5 rebounds tonight. Matt Brown and I just we tailed along with our friends Preston and JVT, who were high on him, grabbed 30-1 and 25-1, right?
I unfortunately bet the 25 before the 30.
You get
30,
too excited,
yes,
to see 25.
Yes. Well, when I looked at one book and it was 12, I was like, oh, well, this 25 obviously is the best number in that.
You're referring to Chris Duarte? Is that
yes.
What you're referring
yeah.
to? Probably mention that.
And a lot of that is just, I mean, with TJ Warren being out, he's a guy that's going to get more playing time on a decent team than was honestly expected when the draft.
Preston laid that out pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah, that's the that's sort of the key to that bet right there. Which is interesting because that's not one of the more conventional names thrown out there, right? There's Jalen. You also have a Jalen.
Yeah, I'm all over Jalen Green. So those will be, I am, rookie of the year bets are done for me, Gil. With a 3-1 and a 30-1, I'm done on that.
A month from now, Kelly's like, I have a Cade Cunningham and a Jalen Suggs as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm thinking about an Evan Mobley and a Scotty Barnes.
LaMelo Ball, though, he is having a big night. He's at 31 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, only 2 turnovers, 7 for 9 from deep. That's a big night for LaMelo Ball.
That is a big night. And the people who are high on the Timberwolves already, like, doesn't matter if it's against the Rockets, it's 72-45 at half. They're like, see, told you.
Told you.
Told you.
Knicks making it close within 2.
The Rockets have pre-punted on the season. They're like, see, I told you, Timberwolves.
Well, the funniest part of the Preston interview is when he goes, you know, Oklahoma City, they probably won't tank till December or January. December's like 6 weeks from now.
Hey, didn't even catch that. That's good.
You probably won't tank till, you know, December or January.
Jalen Green with a whole 4 points tonight, by the way. Minus 26, plus minus.
Rookie of the year, that market will be so volatile. So volatile. With so many players contending, one would think, pre-flop this year. Knicks just took a lead. How about that? 79-78, just under the two-minute mark left in the third quarter. First lead of the game since they were up 52-50. This looks like a fantastic finish, though, this one in Charlotte. 120-118, Indy up on Charlotte in this one. That one's going right down to the wire. Not sure who bet that out there, but 116 left in that. Highest scoring of all these games. And Gordon Hayward at the line to try to tie things up for the Hornets, and he hits the first of two. So that one is coming down to the wire. And who knows, if they catch overtime there, that could be a really cartoonish score when all is said and done.
Kelly, this 53-53 at half in this Sixers-Pelicans game. I mean, we've mentioned it, but we just don't want to gloss over. I mean, this Pelicans team doing this without Zion, we should mention.
Yes.
You know, I mean, granted, it is only halftime, first game of the year, but just so you know, this is getting done without Zion on the court.
And that's why I was saying, like, that backcourt producing like they have that first half is what's really impressive, and they're going to need that all year.
That's with Valanciunas going 3 of 12 from the floor, right? Having a really bad first half for them.
This performance by the Dodgers tonight, by the way, this Julio Urias performance, and the fact that Dodgers trail now 4-0 in this ballgame, is so, for Dodgers fans and Dodgers bettors, so deflating after the drama that was last night with Cody Bellinger hitting that three-run shot in the eighth. Like, what a come-down this
is. Can you imagine rolling into the stadium tonight? You're like, all right, like, after last night, let's go Dodgers,
I'm like, what a seismic moment that was last night. If the Dodgers win it all, remember this moment. Yeah, they're down 4-0.
And they are currently, it's only three innings.
Fourth inning.
It's only three innings. They're coming to bat in the fourth, but they are getting perfect gamed.
Oh, are they?
Oh,
I missed that little detail.
It's only three innings, but they're getting perfect gamed right now.
Well, something to keep an eye on.
It is funny. Only three innings. We wouldn't bring that up to like seventh inning, eighth inning in the regular season.
Well, it's the combination of Jesse Chavez and Drew Smiley.
Jesse Chavez. Like Jesse Chavez from nowhere. Jesse Chavez. Yeah.
Like,
I remember handicapping him.
Is he a starter? Yeah. Is he a middle reliever? Some team tried him as like a closer for a little bit. Like,
he was starting for the A's like a decade ago. Jesse Chavez, and now giving way to Drew Smiley. We'll shift to college football next. Pete Futak from collegefootballnews.com. Pretty good slate of college football games. Maybe not as great as the last couple weeks, but some interesting games to talk about, and how he feels about the Heisman market as well. We'll ask him about that. Pete Futak next, right here on VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
NBA season might have tipped off, but there's still time to grab your copy of the VSiN Pro Basketball Betting Guide. It has strategies, predictions, and best bets to stay ahead of the odds makers. Our hoops experts, including Jonathan Von Tobel, the senior NBA analyst at VSiN, provide strategy and advice as well as predictions for conference winners, win totals, playoff teams, and player awards. The digital guide is a must-have. Give yourself a betting edge, why don't you, this season, and get your copy now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. That is VSiN.com/subscribe.
1231 Canadian.
1231 Canadian. I hope you're proud of yourself, Matt Brown. You ruined the perfect game.
I shouldn't have brought it up. It's a borderline call on 2-2. And it got to 3-2, and he lost him.
He walked Corey Seager, did Drew Smiley. I think it's Drew Smiley still in there. Walked Corey Seager. Still a no-hitter, though. Combined no-hitter going on for the Braves. Seager at first, two down in the bottom of the fourth. Braves 4, Dodgers 0.
Nada.
I believe we say that in soccer. Let's talk some college football. Ladies and gentlemen, from the treasure trove of information that is collegefootballnews.com, the creator of that site, Pete Futak. How you doing, Pete?
Wait, time out. You're talking perfect game after four innings?
that's kind of the joke, Pete. That's the joke of it.
I'm sorry. I apologize. So is this the main focus for you guys tonight on a non-NFL night when you've got a million other things? So I love being on the Twitter feed when you guys tweet stuff out or people tweet stuff, and you get a random tweet saying, hey, what do you guys think about the 12 and a half on the RSQ thing, like some weird random thing that's all that's going out there.
Today's kind of a mishmash because there's, you know, a lot of NBA action. We've sort of thrown hockey to the side. App State and Coastal Carolina at halftime. Coastal Carolina, as I know you're following, 20 to 14 Coastal.
We're good.
And then there's the baseball game. Yeah. So, you know, you have Coastal tonight?
Sure. It depends on, you know, that line flipped around a lot. That started off a 4.5. He ended up at, 5.5 or so. That thing was a little all up and down a little bit. But we're okay. Coastal's going to be okay on this. We're good on this. Plus, right. I picked them out of spite after what App State did to us last week.
That's right.
It's always the wrong way to go about that.
App State was so bad against you. La la. All right. Question for you. I usually let Matt ask the LSU questions, but I'll start with Ed Orgeron.
Oh,
sorry.
Stole it from me.
Sorry. Ed Orgeron. Out at LSU, but not currently. He's still coaching there for the rest of the year. But what do you do with a game like this after coach has, come to an agreement that this is his last year at LSU, 2 years removed from a national championship? What do you do with a game like Ole Miss versus LSU? Do you think that there's a narrative where LSU rallies around coach, that they're flat, opposite of that? Or do you stay as far away from this as humanly possible?
Play it straight. You play it just like you normally would if you didn't have all this about Coach O. The bigger problem with LSU is, one, they're all hurt. Two, they're LSU, so they got a bunch of NFL guys who don't want to be there anymore. But on the flip side of that is, when you've got the NFL guys who don't want to be there anymore, you got the younger guys who are actually going to try, play hard. And look what happened last week against Florida. The problem is LSU's D didn't do anything outside of come up with those four picks against Florida. It's going to be an interesting game, a high-scoring game, big-time shootout. I don't think it goes over, but I think you play this game straight. There's another game out there with the same sort of thought process. Illinois, after Brett Bielema just ripped his team to shreds and said, we don't have any talent, what do you think about Illinois playing this week? There's certain times you have to take a tone of a team, what a coach says and does, and just say, you know what, forget it, just play it how you're normally going to play them.
Pete, Sports Talk Radio then for a second here. Who is an actual candidate to take this job? I mean, listen, we know it's one of the easiest places to recruit there is, the only school that anyone cares about in Louisiana, so you get all those guys, and then of course all the players from Texas and things like that. So who is an actual candidate to come in and do this, because of course every name in the world is getting thrown around right now?
And here's the problem with that: and anytime you have a big time coaching opening, no matter what the big time school is, the alumni base thinks they can get Nick Saban. Let's just go get a Harbaugh. We can get anybody we want. And it never works out like that. The problem with this coaching search is now the AD said, we're going to go big. You're not getting Jimbo Fisher. You're not getting Dabo. And that's what the base is expecting now, is a guy at that level, and it's not going to happen. So realistically, Dave Aranda would be a nice pick. There's a whole lot of other, you know, guys who are ready to take that next jump up. But the problem with this gig, as opposed to the USC gig, is you've got a fan base at LSU where 10-2 isn't good enough. You have to win a national championship there. You've got a base that's used to winning a national championship three times with three different head coaches, and they're used to having arguably the greatest season in the history of college football just a couple years ago. Do that. And the problem is Alabama's not quitting football. Georgia's not quitting. Auburn's not quitting. USC, you could go take that job, have the crazy expectations, and win and rip through the Pac-12 pretty easily. You can't just do that at LSU.
Breaking news from FUTAC: Alabama and Georgia not quitting.
Not quitting. We'll still be good. Yes.
Pete, let me ask you about the Heisman market. We've never had a year like this where the preseason Heisman favorite is not only not the favorite anymore, he's not even starting for his team anymore. We're talking about Spencer Rattler, obviously giving way to Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, 25-1 per DraftKings. I'll ask you about him. Do you think he can win a Heisman with a abbreviated season? What about Kenny Pickett? Is he too low at 22-1? Who would you bet right now, I guess, is what I'm asking.
All right, so as a Heisman voter, in a couple of weeks, I'm not allowed to reveal who I'm voting for under penalty of death.
Oh, that's
worse.
Right. You're a Heisman voter. That's correct.
Sorry. But in a very, very limited poll here, and just a small sample size, Caleb Williams, go for it. Why not? Because to me, the Heisman's about who's the signature guy of a season. It's a combination of MVP, MOP. Who's the guy who's really the signature guy? And from that fourth down run against Texas on, he has made Oklahoma from a, this team's going to get tagged at some point, and we'll see what it does, to now it's the definite number two team because Oklahoma's offense looks like Oklahoma again, and he just might be that good. The stats have been phenomenal. It's only a game and a half sample size, but if he keeps doing this, he's got the signature moment that everyone saw, the Heisman moments, and he's going to have the stats, and he's going to be the reason that Oklahoma goes from this level to maybe, just maybe, it could challenge Georgia for the national title.
Pete, we have Clemson, and Clemson is an underdog this week, a three-point dog on the road at Pittsburgh. We did not see this one coming. We did not think that Clemson – maybe we didn't think Clemson was going to be the greatest team in the world this year. We did not see them being a three-point dog to Pittsburgh. What do you think about this? Do we just say, okay, this has gotten out of control here, we're taking the points with Clemson?
Yeah. You mentioned Gil mentioned Kenny Pickett before, and the problem is, if anybody knew who Kenny Pickett was or who he played for, he'd probably be the Heisman front runner because he's been fantastic. It's Pitt, so their pass rush is always amazing. They always find guys who just can get in the backfield on a regular basis. And Pickett is one of those 19th year seniors who hung around another year, upped his draft stock. He's that good. He and that offense are just ripping everybody apart right now. I can't pick against Clemson. Look, I know they're hurt on the defensive front, but that defense is still playing well. The offense is just weird. It just doesn't work. It's like they can't, like Uyunglele just cannot let it rip, and there's no running game. The offensive line is bad. We could be talking here next week, and if we find out it's 30-13 Pitt because that defensive line just owned the offensive line of Clemson, I wouldn't be shocked, but I just can't pick against Clemson until something really strange happens.
If we had transported that line back to ourselves before the season started, we'd all be like, oh, DJ got hurt. Like, I mean, there'd be no other explanation for it.
COVID or something, something really crazy.
How about UCLA and Oregon?
Which Oregon shows up? I mean, we are way overdue here for the Ducks to either say we are in the college football playoff race, or you know what, we just don't have it because they've played like garbage over the last few weeks. They've got the talent still. They've got their defensive guys back. They do need better quarterback play. They need to be more explosive again offensively. And if they win the Pac-12 title at 12-1, they're in the college football playoff. They got the trump card over the Big Ten because they have that win over Ohio State. They're going to be in. They just have to get there, and they're not playing like it. I'm going to still stick with Oregon that says that's one of those teams that's going to kind of rise or fall depending on the occasion. This is one of those games I think they step up their game a little bit and like, okay, now we're going to actually play like we're supposed to. I still think Oregon's just that good. But then again, I thought Arizona State would still be in it as well, and they're not obviously knocked out of this. So very sheepishly, I'm going Oregon.
All right, 20 seconds. Who are your four playoff teams? Go.
It's going to be Georgia. It's going to be Ohio State, Oklahoma. And I'm saying, even though they don't deserve it, I'm going to argue to the death that it's disqualified because of their schedule. I think Cincinnati slips in because the committee's going to have an argument. To Los Alabama, undefeated Cincinnati that played nobody. I think they throw the cookie at the group of five team this year.
Wow, to Los Alabama, he says. All right, Pete, thank you. Appreciate it.
Pete, later, guys. Have a great night.
To Los Alabama, Nick Saban might be available after all. For
LSU. Terrible. Get him out of town. At Pete Futak, by the way, for Pete on Twitter, FIUTAK. The Braves just keep on hitting the baseball. Still 4-0, but runners at the corners, one out, top of the fifth. What is happening at Chavez Ravine? We'll come back. We'll wrap it all up and see if the Braves have added on. In fact, it's VSiN's Primetime Action live from the Majestic South Point Hotel Casino on the tip of the strip.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you hungry for a win? Compete for free with the College Football Prediction Pool presented by Bojangles. Make predictions for the Tennessee-Alabama game this weekend for your shot at up to $1,000 in cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/Bojangles now to get in on the action. Bojangles, it's bow time. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. 5-0 Braves.
Some fine chicken.
It is some fine
chicken. Yes, it is some fine chicken.
That is some fine chicken.
No doubt about that. So we are one game into the first full slate of the NBA season. Bulls win 94-88. The line closes at 5. The Pistons put up a shot as time expires. It goes in, which would have put it under the 5 at 4 points. Waved off. 6-point win. Bulls cover.
How do they know? How do they know? That's my favorite thing that people say about
the
lines.
What would it have been?
Bulls won by 6. The line was 5. The Pistons put up a shot as time expired. It went in. At first, they counted it. Looked no good. Wiped it off.
Significant to some, Kelly.
Oh, man.
Significant to some.
What was that bet I saw come in today? I think, was it 3.5? I can't remember if it was 3.5 or 4. Somebody dropped like 40K on it, DraftKings, on the Bulls.
They'd have won regardless then. But, okay. But
I think it was 3.5.
But for the closing line.
For the closing line, yep.
Yes, for the closing line. It would have been rough for anyone who had the 5 on the Pistons and thought they won on a buzzer beater.
How many of those people are like, welcome back in it?
Yeah. Thanks, basketball.
Oh, I forgot
a buzzer beater could be wiped off because it didn't. He had one fingernail on it as it like left his finger.
That's what happens when baseball season first starts and a bullpen kills you. You're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about this.
Isaiah laid 4.5 downstairs. So he's a happy guy.
There you go. And some other news here that is significant to some who are watching on MSG anyway, because you probably make that train ride or bike ride or drive over or whatever it might be. We knew it was coming. We just didn't know exactly when. It was September of 2021. The New Jersey betting handle hit $1 billion for the month of September. $1 billion wagered.
I'm going to tell you right now, this sports betting thing, it's going to catch on one of these days. $1 billion in a month.
You've been saying that since they were doing $200 million, which was like 7 months ago.
it's really, listen, when PASPA was ruled unconstitutional on May 14th of 2018, and I had said, do you think New Jersey or any state for a month, just one calendar month, would ever hit $1 billion, you would have said what?
I did not know how many. One, I didn't know the size of New Jersey, for one. Did you, like, it's a very, pretty populous state. Like,
I thought you meant geographically.
No. Yes. Like, it's a pretty populous state. Like, you don't think of it as being anywhere near, but it's like a top 10 state as far as population.
And they benefit from New York not having gotten their act together.
And at least 25% is the estimated handle that comes from New Yorkers. And that's why I said, like, so many people watching us right now know exactly what I'm talking about. They catch the train, they bike over, they take the drive, they do whatever it is, find a restaurant they like to eat right on the other side and go over there, eat big bets, and then go back home and do all that. But, getting to $1.011 billion, that is up 35% from last year. Of course, the pandemic and all that, it was 748 last year, but still just a massive increase of 35%. 82.4 million in revenue, and then when you include the tax rate in there, the state makes $10.2 million in 1 month off of just allowing people to do what they want to do anyway.
Yeah, it is. Man, you are right. 11th most populated state.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised by that as well.
It's crazy. I know. I did not think there were that many people in New Jersey.
You guys are killing me with the...
I'm not from the East Coast, though. You know, I mean, like, you probably knew it because you grew up over there or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I'm from the South. It doesn't, like... New Jersey was never thought of as a populous state.
But it's also culturally that, you know, corridor of this country, the you know, whether it's Pennsylvania, whether it's New Jersey, whether it's New York, much more steeped in gambling culture than, say, some of the states out here, with the exception of Nevada.
Yeah.
So it's a confluence of events, of course, all precipitated by the legalization of sports betting back in 2018. 3 years ago.
Take note, other states. Remote sign up.
Yes.
Remote funding.
Yes.
Remote withdrawals. Allowing competition within the market, which creates good stuff for the actual consumer. All of these things. It has worked like a charm in New Jersey, and why you want to reinvent the wheel here with all this stuff is absolutely insane. Just look at what they're doing in Jersey. $1 billion.
Do what they're doing.
Yes.
Just it's like, it's like DC botching it, dude.
Yeah.
It's just so bad.
Oh, but sorry,
let me start.
I got friends in Jersey and friends in Chicago that bet, and it's they don't even understand. When I have to explain to them, like, how I was like, oh, I've got to put in my bet and my app out here, and then if I want to go get the money, I got to go to the sports book. They're like, what do you mean? You can't just directly take it out onto your credit card or into your checking account? It's like, no, it doesn't work like that out here. It's really a pain.
This is a whole nother conversation. That's for our Vegas Center show, but it's
yeah, I mean, comparing the two, though, it's like not even comparable anymore.
And it's like they don't see it coming in some spots.
Yeah.
They don't see it coming. It's just amazing. You said you had a story to tell. Was that the story?
The Bulls Pistons. The Bulls Pistons that we were one game deep.
I see.
Into the first full slate of NBA games, and we already had a quote unquote, because people call that a bad beat. It wasn't a bad beat, but people call that a bad beat.
Yeah, no.
Because if the shot doesn't leave the guy's hand in time, then the shot never happened.
It's actually the correct call.
Yeah, the shot never happened. But yes, it will be looked at as a bad beat.
3-2 pitch coming, bottom of the fifth, nobody out. Dodgers trail 5-0. This is a rather significant pitch. Get a base runner on, and the 3-2 delivery. Ooh, we got a piece of it. Fouls it off. That's Gavin Lux at the plate. Dodgers struggling.
Yes.
Knicks up 8 in this ballgame against the Celtics halfway through the fourth quarter. Make it up 10 exactly halfway through the fourth quarter. Knicks going to hang on to this? What's any Boston love for a line here? Obi Toppin, by the way. 13 second half points.
Plus 5.5. You can get Celtics live right now.
Even live lines don't interest you at this point. Not night number one or 1.5.
I mean, I've been keeping my eyes on them, but not really. I think even with live betting these games, you got to know the rotations a little bit more, know the rosters in and out, see how they're gonna play guys. I mean, I've just been noticing I've been running through box scores all night. You know, like Pelicans, great example. Their bench. It has such even minutes divided between like six guys that 3 months from now it's not going to be the case. They're just working on figure out which rotations are going to work best. You know, which groupings of guys together is going to work best. So that's where it's you know, pregame and live. I think it's tough, at least personally. I know Matt feels the same way. There's usually a couple teams I have my eye on going into the season. I'll lock on to bet, but. Man, for the most part, I think you got to wait a couple weeks usually to wait till teams really figure themselves out a bit more.
We do still have the two late tips, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, if you want to get in. Nuggets and the Suns. The Suns are across the board, 6-point favorites right now, 224, 224.5, your total in that one. And then we have the other 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, the Kings and the Blazers. Blazers, 6.5 across the board. Favorites in that one, 233.5, 234. The total there.
Yeah, I would say the closest thing I got to a bet today was I did see a 7 on that game earlier with the Blazers and Kings, pulling the trigger on the Kings. I will also say early in the year, I bet way more underdogs than I bet throughout the rest of the season. I think there's more value on dogs usually early on. That also means I'm betting way more on the money line than I usually would with that dog early on. This is that time of the year where the markets and the bookmakers are trying to figure out these teams just like you are. So if you're betting dogs, I think you should absolutely be hitting the money line along with it, because you're getting some great value there on numbers that the odds makers are still trying to figure out themselves. So that's one. I'm going to look live at that game tonight. Honestly, I think a live over in Kings Blazers or live on the Kings if they get down early, and you could get something over 9 or something like that. They got enough offensive talent that this could be a team that, you know, Damian Lillard goes off the court early or something like that at the end of a game. They could easily get in backdoor, or I think they could keep it close or win outright against a Blazers team that just is not as good as they were last year. And frankly, I have no idea what's going on in Damian Lillard's mind right now. We've talked about a lot of guys over the past couple days. Ben Simmons, most notably, of just what's, you know, how guys are with teams right now. Damian Lillard's a guy who's not been happy with what the Blazers have done this offseason, and his future is massively up in the air. So I think that's a storyline to watch out for, and I'm interested to see how he responds.
Yeah, lineups are out in that one for Sacramento. Fox, Halliburton, Barnes, Harkless, and Holmes to start for them on the Portland side. Lillard, McCollum, Powell, Covington, and Nurkic.
Consecutive singles, consecutive one-out singles for the Dodgers, Turner and Justin Turner, that is, and Cody Bellinger. Runners at the corners, one out, down 5-0 in the fifth. Dodgers making some noise. And for the MSG Plus audience, your comment about NFL Week 7 from a betting standpoint?
The stink.
A stink.
It's the stink.
The stink. Got even stinkier with all the injuries tomorrow night. We'll join you then. Nightcap next from Circa. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.